Indiana is thrilled in these last days of the year to announce yet another major economic expansion. You'll be hearing about that from the head of LHP of Columbus in just a minute. And then we'll tell you what that means in terms of statewide, its statewide implications in Indiana's economic comeback. But first, I'd like to welcome David Glass, the founder and leader of LHP, a dynamic and rapidly growing hardware and software IT firm in our state, to make an announcement.
Thank you. I want to say thank you for joining us today on this milestone for our company. And again, having the mayor here to support us, Ted Dawson, president of Economic Development Board for Columbus, and Brooke Tuttle is working with us closely these days, and we appreciate his support. I also have a couple of my colleagues, Alex Thatcher and Tara Vatcher. Tara was one of our, was our first employee, and she's now leading our embedded division and doing a great job. Our company, LHP Software, provides software and systems engineering services for embedded applications and IT applications, including web-based information systems and mobile device engineering tools. LHP was co-founded by myself and Ryan Ho, and I also want to mention that Ryan could not be here. He sends his regrets, but he's out of the country. Together we started this company in 2001 in Columbus, and we initially operated as a virtual company. We hired the first two employees. Here in 2007, we now have 130 employees and another 25 in China. And we have three facilities in Columbus, and we have an office here in Indianapolis. And we have a very diverse employee base spanning 17 cultures, including one-third of our employees as Asians and one-third being from India. We have a very highly skilled technical workforce, highly educated workforce, with three-quarters of our employees having advanced degrees in electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, and computer engineering, with several holding PhDs. LHP is a software company. We have also spun off, the parent company has spun off two additional companies, one being LHP Solutions, which has gone to take a banking software product to the market, and the other being LHP Technology, which Brooke is presiding over. And that is to provide the international manufacturing sourcing and marketing support. We have additionally added recently a product division where we are investing in R&D for new products to take to the market. LHP started out by extending engineering services to Cummins for diesel engine embedded controls applications, but since we've moved beyond automotive, including medical and military applications and clients as well. Some of the Indiana-based companies that we have as clients besides Cummins include Hill-Rom, Delphi, International Truck, Allison Transmission, and Crane Naval Surface Warfare. For the growth, employment and revenues from 2001 through 2007 has been at an annual 50% rate. LHP has received several growth awards over that period. And for the future growth, we intend to target 40% growth for the next several years. Our plans on hiring an additional 325 people through 2011 spread across the three companies operating under LHP Inc., the holding company. I would like to thank Mitch Daniels for the EDGE grant of $2.1 million. This will be a tremendous benefit for us from a cash flow, a capital operating standpoint, and our ability to provide employee incentives to attract 325 employees with the high-tech caliber skill set. This is a critical need from a standpoint of meeting these aggressive growth goals. It's been a definite challenge for us to find, locate the kind of talent that we need. We search nationwide, but we also look heavily from the local universities. Columbus has been an incredible place to start and grow a company. We've had tremendous support for the economic board leaders and city officials, and the state also has provided tremendous support. So again, I'd like to thank Governor Mitch Daniels and the IEDC for their support in helping us move this company forward. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Fred. Well,
thank you, Governor. Dave, congratulations. Columbus is a great place to do business and continue business. But we're also blessed that we have a good working relationship with the state of Indiana. I know the governor and lieutenant governor's been to Columbus many times, and it's always good news, and it's always good to partner with the state of Indiana, and we're blessed to be able to do this again. LHP will continue to grow under Dave's leadership, Brooke and Ryan Ho, and we're just blessed to have companies like LHP in Columbus. We want to continue to see them grow, and we'll probably be back to ask for help, and I'm sure that we'll get it. So, Governor, thank you very much, and we appreciate what you've done for us.
Usual, Fred.
Columbus has really been one of the star performers, the entire Columbus, Bloomington, and really Southeast Indiana area in Indiana's emergence as the Midwest's leading economy. And we have been there many, many times. And as David just mentioned, we are now looking at that happy problem of perhaps worker shortages and skill shortages. And a lot of innovative steps have been taken at Columbus to make certain that as these jobs come online, there are Hoosiers waiting to fill them. Let me put this exciting announcement then in context here as we approach the end of the year. With this 340-odd job expansion, Indiana has broken yet again the all-time record for most new jobs captured in competitive settings. The IEDC in its first year, 2005, shattered all previous records, broke it in 06. I honestly didn't think the 06 record could be broken because there had been several blockbusters that you'll recall, including Cummins' own expansion, but Honda and Toyota and Nestle and many others. But here in the last days of 07, the record's been broken yet again. More than 22,000 new jobs headed for Indiana in the next 2 or 3 years. A couple of notes of further context. The average wage of the jobs that the state is attracting is going up, while the average incentive that the state is offering in terms of tax credits and training dollars has been going down. Went down over 20% this year. And there were instances such as the Medco capture just a few weeks ago, in which other states were offering nearly twice as much in incentives, but Indiana still prevailed. And this is always our goal at the IEDC, the most jobs per dollar of incentive that the state puts up. Secondly, and today's announcement contributes to this, for the first time in history, as far as anyone can tell, the largest single category of new jobs attracted was IT, information technology, ahead of manufacturing. Life sciences made a large gain, and all the numbers went up because this is a record we're talking about, but it's probably significant as we try to have a more diverse economy, a wider array of jobs for our young people, that categories like life sciences and information technology have grown the most rapidly. Finally, very interesting to me, of the 158 successful transactions completed this year, more than half occurred in cities and towns of 25,000 or less. That is to say, those small and mid-sized communities that have always been the backbone of our state. And this has been a major point of emphasis for us. We have a very explicit small-town strategy. And this year, the great people that Nate Feltman leads did a fine job of fulfilling it. So congratulations, David and Brooke and all your colleagues. We're so proud of you and so excited about this dramatic growth you're about to experience. Glad the state was able to play a part. And to Nate and all your colleagues, congratulations on another fine performance. Be hard to beat this next year, but those are your instructions. Questions for anyone?
Governor, this figure, 22,000, are we talking about net job gains? Because we're wondering about losses as well.
Yeah, well, the state's been adding lots of jobs. Unemployment's the lowest it's been in 6 years, right back to the bubble. Lowest unemployment in the Midwest, only state in the Midwest where unemployment's been going down. So we're on a net basis. Indiana's is gaining and gaining significantly, but these are new jobs coming to the state.
Do you track job loss?
Sure. We look at the net always, and the net is positive, and therefore unemployment has been going down and can never be low enough to suit us. Also, though, very important, as we just mentioned, that it's not enough simply to add net jobs. We want those jobs to pay better than the ones they are replacing. And that is a metric that Nate Feltman is held to. Are the jobs that are coming, like these jobs, which pay very, very well, over time going to raise the net income of Hoosiers? And it's not an easy assignment when that net income's been dropping for 30 years relative to the country, but we're gaining on it.
Do you have any estimate on
the net? The net which?
On the net growth, gains versus losses.
Well, we have to wait on the often confusing federal figures to get a take on that. All we can say is that it's positive, and this is in a time when the rest of the Midwest is suffering and struggling very badly. So Indiana's begun to separate itself and can never be strong enough to suit us, but the arrows are pointed up.
We have no figures on the actual job losses. Actual figures.
We have lots of actual figures, and we'll share them with you, and they show that we are gaining jobs. In any dynamic economy, some companies will lose ground to competition and others will gain. That's a strength of our economy. That's one reason why the whole pie grows. But the key always is, are you adding more income? Are you adding more positions than are inevitably in some places going away? And the answer is yes, Indiana is. I think probably customer service centers are counted in that category, but telecom and IT, I think, are probably rolled together. But Mitchell will get you that answer.
I have a question for Dave.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about how many jobs you'll be adding? What are the positions and what are the average salaries?
Most of the positions will be around engineering services and engineering research. And the average hourly is around $37 an hour, $35 to $37, and so a $70,000 to $75,000 annual salary. So.
And do you expect to apply most of those folks in Indiana, or will you have to bring them from other folks?
I'd say the majority of the time we bring them from outside the state in. Yeah. Just because the qualifications of the people requiring master's or PhD level, there's just not enough people in the local areas to suit those positions. Currently, we would like to find ways to get more people. It would be beneficial to us if we could find those people locally.
Question for Nate. The incentives that are offered by the state, are you seeing any competition from the state in terms of them looking at their operating? What's the plan to keep that incentives or higher than other states?
Well, we actually...
That'd be lower than other states.
In all of these situations where we're competing for jobs, we're up against another state, and that state has an offer on the table. But we have a lot of strengths in our favor. A lot of the initiatives that have been passed the past few years, like the research and development tax credit, single factor apportionment, major moves, telecommunications reform, all those things make the Indiana economy stronger, where we don't have to give as much as another state. So we watch that metric very, very carefully. The governor gave a great example of the Medco deal, where Kentucky came out and offered $30 million, and we got it for a fraction of that amount. So we do our due diligence and homework and make sure that we're doing all we can to win the opportunity, but not give too much on the incentive side.
How much in total incentives are tied to the 22,000 jobs this year?
The number is about $196 million total in state incentives.
Let me elaborate on that for a minute. The vast majority of those are performance-based. That is to say, they are tax credits which are only given if and when Hoosiers are hired in those jobs, when someone comes on the payroll inside the state. And so It's all upside, really. And we found, we looked at the last board meeting, a few percent in any given year are not ultimately fulfilled. Somebody's business plan doesn't quite work. It was a single digit, about 8% in most cases. And in that case, no incentive is attached. I can't speak for the local incentives. Usually those are also tied to the company doing what it is has said it will do. But in the state's case, it's almost all of it.
I just might add, I think it's important to note, though, that the number continues to decline. 20% this year, a decline in the amount of incentives. And so, again, because
the
of the average per job. And again, that's because Indiana is incredibly competitive. The rankings show it that we're number one in the Midwest when it comes to cost of doing business, when it comes to our overall tax burden. So that is an important reason why that number can be lower than most states.
Dave, why do some regions, central Indiana specifically, seem to be doing better than others on these deals? You had Amazon Plasmatronics up in Northwest Indiana, but you didn't have that big 300, 400 job announcement up there. Seems to be the same in previous years. Is it people want greenfield over brownfield? Is it tax differences? You know, why are companies coming to some areas in the state instead of others?
There are a lot of factors that go into a company's decision, but they're personal to that company. And so you'd have to really ask those companies what is important for them. But each one has a specific reason. Certainly some parts of our state have seen tremendous growth, and today we're celebrating Southeast Indiana. It's one part of the state, and the leadership in that part of the state has done a great job at keeping the jobs that they have and looking for new opportunities, reaching out nationally and globally. And when those parts of our state think regionally and work together to go out and win opportunities and build relationships, that makes a big difference. As I've referred to, thinking regionally and getting the leadership together to think regionally about how they can make their region even more competitive by looking for new sites that can be developed, by building international and national relationships with decision makers. Those are things, to name a couple, that make a difference.
Get down the cost of local government and adopt an aggressive, a pro-growth policy that's welcoming to new business. And Fred Armstrong, Columbus is a tremendous example, but I could give you 100 of them. But I would say those two things are thinking regionally very important. Columbus, again, since they're here, I'll cite them, has built, an innovative, nationally innovative training center, bringing together our universities, Ivy Tech, and the job training programs of the state for the benefit of the whole region. But I would say that keeping the cost of government, the burden of government down, making sure government has integrity that inspires confidence, and then taking a pro-growth, pro-jobs attitude. I think that's what separates the star areas, and currently Southeast Indiana is one of those, from some others.
Well, we use internet-based recruiting tools, and we just search nationwide. We just find the best candidate as far as
means. What other state would like to have had your job?
Would like to have had our job. We haven't talked to any other states. Our intentions are to stay in Columbus where our families are and our close ties to Cummins and other customers in the area. We haven't had any interest in moving to any other location other than Columbus and growing in Indianapolis. So.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
I think the state has had a lot of challenges of late, particularly regarding the auto industry. Is that something the state is saying, we need to forget about that? Time,
you want to take that, you want me?
Well, if it escaped your attention, there was only one state in America that landed two new major auto facilities last year, and it was Indiana who landed three, Cummins, Toyota, and Honda. There's no state in America that has shown more competitiveness and success in automotive and manufacturing. And as you see here, we're adding thousands of new jobs and new investments in manufacturing, but it's very important not to bet the whole farm, so to speak, on that or any one sector. But we are aggressively pursuing advanced manufacturing in all its forms, and we think Indiana is the very best place in America to do it, but not only that.
It's pretty hard to predict what future job growth will be. Obviously, they had a very good year. Central Indiana in general had a good year, but it's hard to predict where companies are going to make site decisions. Hard for me to predict.
Okay.
Yeah. But what do you think about so many Indiana soldiers having to go to war, and what are your thoughts about what that means?
Well, it's a mix of, for me, of great concern, but also pride. This is the biggest single deployment of Indiana National Guard since World War II, and one of the biggest ever. And we're proud of these people. These are the best people we have. They make a double sacrifice. Not only do they put themselves at risk, but they leave families and jobs behind to do it. And it's the single part of my job I take the most seriously, is supporting the Guard as their commander-in-chief. So January the 2nd is going to be an emotional day. And not just for the families, but we're going to do all we can to honor these people. We try to do this every day, but that'll be a big day. I hope every Hoosier will say a word of thanks to any guardsmen they see, maybe say a word of prayer for the 76th. We will think about them every day till they're back with us. Thank you very much.